Every night, every service, say, well, I've got five services. One, two, three, four, five. Five's the number of what? Grace. Five is the number of grace. So God, hey, you'll need a lot of grace if you endure these five sermons. Five sermons, I'm going to preach all five sermons on the heart. You know, I love missions. I love missions. You know why I love missions? Because missions is the heart of God. And the people who come to mission conferences have a heart for God. And that you have the cream of the crop. Now, you have to make a sacrifice. You have to make an effort, some of you will. But you will be here for the missions conference because you want to know more about the commission. You know, God had a mission, did he not? He had a mission to send his son for the great redemptive plan. And he bled and died and was buried and rose again and went back to heaven. And the angel said, who's going to tell it, Lord? He said, those redeemed men who believe it. And then he gave them a mission. And what's their mission? Take it into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we, really, that is the heart of God. The heart of God is missions. And if you love him, you will be out every night unless you're providentially hindered. And providentially hindered means you're dead. So, unless you're providentially hindered, you'll be here every night. Now, come on, you've worked hard. Pray, and pray for the service. And I know you've been praying. And I want to, every service, I'm going to give you just something about the heart. And I would like to, don't turn, but I'm going to give you the first time that Christians were ever called Christians was in Antioch. And you know something? It wasn't the Christians calling the Christians Christians. It wasn't believers calling other believers Christians. It was people who was observing their life that called them Christians. The word Christians means slave of Christ, like Christ, or Christ-likeness. And let me just read this. Don't turn now. It's not the sermon, but I'm just going to give you a pre-sermon, a warm-up from a sermon. Now listen to me carefully. It says in Acts chapter 11, who, when he came, this is Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. And they were first called Christians at Antioch. What in the world caused them to call them Christians? Three things in that one verse. When they had seen the grace of God. How in the world do you see grace? How can you see grace? You don't see grace. You see the change that grace makes in other people's lives. Amen? So the first thing that the reason they were called Christians is because the change that grace had brought into the life. The grace of God had changed them. Then it says that it exhorted them with purpose, they had exhorted them, and with purpose of heart, exhorted them. Well, that's the exhort of what? The Word of God. The Word of God challenged them, and they were obedient. And then it says they were, and then they would, that their heart, they would cleave unto the Lord, and that Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit controlled them. So the grace of God changed them. And the Word of God challenged them, and the Spirit of God controlled them. Therefore, they were called Christians. You see, Christianity is a relationship with the Creator. Patrick Henry, our great founder of our nation, made this statement. He said the greatest friend that a government can have is a Christian. Because Christianity is the only religion that changes the heart of man. And you see, the problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. The reason that we do not do what we ought to do is because our heart is not where it ought to be. And I want to speak to you today on this subject, the secret of the burning heart. Do you remember the story whenever the two disciples were walking down the road of Emmaus And as they walked down the road of Emmaus, they were discussing the things that had happened that day. And they were discouraged and depressed and so forth. And a stranger came and walked with them. And he began to open the scriptures unto them. And they did not know who the stranger was. The stranger was the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. And the Bible says that as he walked and he expounded the scriptures concerning himself, and as they got to where they were going, they started to go in, and they constrained him, compelled him to go in with them, and he went in with them, and when he broke bread, their eyes were open. Do you know why their eyes were open? When he broke bread, they saw the nail prints in his hands. And they saw who it was. And he disappeared out of it. And then they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures unto us concerning himself? Oh, how our hearts will burn within us when he opens the scriptures unto us concerning himself. And that's my prayer. I want God to do that this week in my own heart. As I got down on my knees this morning and I prayed and I said, oh God, may my heart be right. May my heart be burning. How can I represent you, be an ambassador for you and represent you well if my heart's not right? So let's ask the Lord to do a work in our heart, that our heart will be in tune with the heart of God, which is world evangelization. Ask the Lord, what do you want me to do this week to satisfy and show my love to you through missions? You see, the Bible simply says this. Are you listening carefully? We prove the sincerity of our heart by what? By giving. Do you know why? Giving this offering you took up a few minutes ago was one of the most sacred times of this entire meeting. Every time you take up an offering and you put your money in, it is the most sacred time of the meeting. Or one of the most. Why? Because, you see, money is concentrated life. Concentrated energy, time. You give your time, your life, to make money. And literally what you're doing when you put your money into the offering plate, it's your concentrated life going into all the world and preaching the gospel. That's why the Lord said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How in the world can you do that? I'm just one. How can I go into all of the world? Did he mean all the world? He certainly did. To every creature? He certainly did. Well, I'm just one. That's humanly impossible. I can't do that. Yeah, but there's a lot of us here who will take our concentrated life, our concentrated time, our concentrated energy, and put it into money that God allows you to have strength and energy to make, and then you put it into the offering, you are literally going into all the world. My, I don't know what that does to you, but that stirs my heart to know that I can go to Zimbabwe, I can go to South Africa, I can go to Thailand. I've been in Thailand. I've been in Vietnam. I've been in these different places. And you do it, wow, through prayer and finances and faith. Now that's my little sermon I'm going to give you every time I get ready to preach. Now to have your Bible, turn over with me to the book of the Revelation. I won't preach long. I'll be like Elizabeth Taylor told her last husband, I won't keep you long. So, all right. Now, If you have your Bible, I want you to look with me to the book of the Revelation. The book of the Revelation, the secret of the burning heart. In the Revelation, I teach your handwriting sometimes in my Bible college and seminary. As I teach our class, if you call it the Revelations plural, I give you a zero. It's not the Revelations. It's the revelation. It is the word revelation means the unveiling, the appearing of, the manifestation of a person. And the revelation is about a person. And the person is Jesus Christ. Now, John is on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Patmos is about 10 miles long, 6 miles wide, about 90 miles southwest of Ephesus. And he's in the Spirit, the Bible says, on the Lord's day. And he hears a voice behind him. And he turns and looks at that voice in the midst of 7 golden candlesticks. And he falls as a dead man. But this voice was the resurrected Christ in all of his glory. His hair was as white as snow, his eyes as a flame of fire. And out of his mouth went a two-edged sword, like a mighty clap of thunder. And he was clothed with garment down to his feet, and his feet was as brass. And John fell as a dead man. Jesus, the resurrected Christ, walked over and put his hand upon him and said, John, fear not. I am he that was dead and is alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and hell and grave. Don't you be afraid. He said, I want you to write something for me. And verse 19 in chapter 1 is what he said to write. Look what he said. He said, I want you to write the things which thou hast, what? The things which thou hast seen. Now, what has he seen? He saw Christ in all of his glory, chapter 1. This is the key to the book of the Revelation. This is the key that causes you to open the door to go in and understand the book of the Revelation. Write the things which thou hast seen, Christ in all of his glory, chapter 1. Then he said, I want you to write the things which are. That's Revelation 2 and 3, Christ and his grace. Then he said, I want you to write the things which shall be after these things. That's Revelation chapter 4 through 22, Christ and his government. So this is the key that unlocks the door of the understanding of the book of the Revelation. Now, notice, he said, past, the things thou hast seen, the things which are, present tense, and the things which shall be after these things, future tense. But I'm interested in that little phrase this morning, the things which are, present tense. That's the church age. You know, the church is not mentioned after Revelation chapter Revelation chapter 4 through 22. It's not mentioned. But because it's raptured, it's with the Lord in heaven. But so if you'll look at the things which are present tense, the church age. You know what is amazing to me? In this church age, whenever the Spirit of God is calling out a bride, his job, his ministry is to do what? To call out a bride for the bridegroom. And he's calling today those into his church that will make up the church to go to be with him. And his job, the job and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to call out a bride. And you're part of that bride. I'm part of that bride. And he's calling us out. Now, notice during this, and all 7 churches, and I'm not going to deal with all 7 churches today, but those 7 churches are periods of church history, I believe. But And there is a practical message for each church, and there is a particular message for each church, as well as prophetic. However, if you'll notice at the end of all 7 of these churches, he says this. Remember, this is the age of the Spirit where the ministering of the Holy Spirit is doing his office work. And let me simply say this, that if you'll give him the office space, he'll do his office work in you. His job is to minister Jesus Christ and make the resurrected Christ real in your life. Now, notice, at the end of every church age, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So what God is doing in the church age, he's wanting me and you to listen to the Spirit of God as we read the Word of God. Let the Spirit of God begin to apply the Word of God to where we'll obey the Word of God. And the job of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus Christ real to you. The resurrected Christ is real. build a relationship, build a heart relationship with Him, and cause our heart to burn within us. And you can't say, oh, I love the Lord, oh, I love the Lord, and shed crocodile tears and love the Lord. There's nothing in you to cause you to want to love the Lord except the Holy Spirit. And He's the one, when you surrender to Him, you see, success, the standard of a Christian's life is not success. The standard of a Christian's life is submission. And when you submit to the Spirit of God, then He can work and conform you and change you into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, look at this. I want us to look at this present age, the age of the Spirit, the age of the church, the things which are. Now, if you were told to write a paper, if you were told to write a paper on the things which are important today, you would probably write about the greatest military power that the world has ever seen. We have the ability to send a rocket thousands of miles and pinpoint it. Our great military strategy, medical technology. We'd write about the medical advancement in technology. Who would ever think about taking a kidney out of one person and put it into another? I mean, such advancements in technology, transportation. I can't believe that the last 3 weeks, all the travel that I have done. I can't believe that. But it's amazing. How did you get on a plane and go thousands of miles in just one day? So we would write about the things which are present tense, important things. Now, in John's day, the most important thing and the most worldly acknowledged things were the mighty Roman Empire, the great military power of Rome, the great transportation system, all the great Colosseums, the great Senates, the great legal system. But John did not write about the mighty Roman Empire. He did not write about the great Colosseums and all their great technology. The thing that John wrote about was seven little local churches in the province of Asia. Now, what does that say to me and you? What does that say? Seven little local churches in the province of Asia. This tells me that the most important thing on earth to heaven is this local church and others like. Churches that has been bought and purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ is the most important thing on earth. It's not the United Nations and not the Red Cross and then all the other crosses. Bless your heart. The most important thing on earth is the local church. The local church is the most important institution upon God's green earth. It's an awesome responsibility for you to be a member of this local church. It's an awesome responsibility for you to know the truth. It's an awesome responsibility for you to have the Word of God. I've just been in some islands and some villages that didn't even have the Word of God, didn't even know anything about Jesus Christ. And here we've been bought with His blood. We're a member of His body. We're a part of His church. We have the truth. We have the Word of God. What an awesome responsibility. The church is the most important institution upon the face of God's earth. It was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the CEO of the church, and the earthly organism is moved and moved in a heavenly power. I'm simply saying that it is important. And many times we treat it like it was a club or a social activity, but it was bought with that rich, red, royal, divine blood of the Son of God. And we are purchased with His blood. He loves the church. Don't do anything to hurt the church. Be faithful to the church. And when you're faithful to the church, you're faithful to Him. And you're showing your love by your faithfulness to this local New Testament assembly, which He gave His precious blood for. So all this and it receives its power not from man-made machinery, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the highest court on earth. It will judge the angels. It's in the lofty business of dealing with eternal souls. It is governed by its word and its judgment, oh man. It's important. The sole head of this church is the King Jesus. He loves the church. The greatest business in all the world is not Wall Street or not to all the financial institutions of the world, but the greatest business in all the world is doing the business for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray that God will help me to represent him well. God, help us. So world evangelism is the heartbeat of this local church. How is it? And when I say local church, I'm talking about collective. I'm talking about all of us. But it's the heartbeat of you. If your relationship is right with them, are you getting what I'm saying? Folk, can you get a hold of the magnitude of that? When I think that the Great Commission was given to the church, and we are responsible to preach the gospel to every creature. World evangelism is the task of the local church, and the Great Commission is given to all the believers, every believer. We are universally responsible. Brother said, you are universally responsible to reach the word for Jesus Christ. Every creature, every nation, you, every one of us, I am responsible. That's why at 72 and a half, God's called me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I've been doing it now for almost 50 years, and I can't stop. I am responsible. I owe a debt that I cannot pay. Oh, listen, he gave his all for me. Why can't I give him just a few years? He gave his eternal blood for me, and that I might be saved and bought out of the slave markets of sin. And now, why can't I give him just a few years and be obedient? He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Oh, you say, Brother Bill, I am old. I can't go. You can pray. If you have a dollar, you can give. You know, we do what we want to do. You do. Now this week, some are going to have to give up some of your favorite TV programs. Oh, what a sacrifice you're going to have to give. I don't know. There might be a ball game on. I don't know. But you know, we are so carnal, aren't we? Now be on, shake your head, say amen, do something. If I have to say amen myself, I get dangerous. okay. But you know, folk, have you ever stopped to think about this? Everything you own, the moment you die, will belong to somebody else. There's no pockets in the pants that you're going to be buried in. However, what you are when you die, you will be forever. That thought just hit me the other day. What you are in your relationship with the Lord, you will be forever. So if we're going to live somewhere forever, don't you think we ought to learn how to live? So the greatest business, The greatest responsibility. We're co-laborers with God. We're co-laborers with the Holy Spirit. We're co-laborers. What an awesome responsibility to be a church member. What an awesome responsibility to be a member of a good, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. What an awesome responsibility to have a Bible. What an awesome responsibility to know the truth. I witnessed to an Indian over in Ketchikan, Alaska. He said, I didn't know it was so simple. He accepted Christ as his personal Savior. I was over in the Prince of Wales Island. A little 8-year-old boy. I got him on my prayer list. Christopher Alexander Music. What a name! 8-year, and I witnessed to him, he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. I have the truth. And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, this thrills my heart. But you'll never be a missionary, have a missionary's heart, if you don't go across the street. You are either a missionary or you're a mission field. And you will never, never have the heartbeat of God. Like David said, he was a man after God's own heart. If your mission field starts in your home with your children. I have 4 children. One's in heaven. And two of my sons are pastors. And one of my daughter married a pastor, married a preacher. That's where your mission field is, in your home. You know what we ought to pray? Oh, God, call my sons and call my daughters. Oh, God, could you use them? Oh, God, take them. But you say, I want the best for them. I want them to have a nice car. I don't want them to have it hard like I did. How carnal to think that the world can treat your kids better than an almighty God who created the world can treat them. Oh, folk, let's get the proper vision. Let's get let's get down where the rubber hits the road. So we have an awesome responsibility to be a Christian, to have the truth. So my heart gets so burdened. I think it might just burst. And then whenever I think of my blessed Lord has looked over the city of Jerusalem, and I have stood where he must have bowed underneath those olive trees and looked over across to the valley of Kidron and saw all the teeming thousands and saw the city of peace that had no peace. How he said, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen doth gather her chicks. I would. But ye would not. Let's keep a holy heart burned for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's ask him to help him stir my heart, O God. Do you know what the first commandment is? Do you know what the first commandment is? Turn to Mark chapter 12. I'm not going to preach my sermon. I'm going to finish it tonight. But and I'm going to tell you how about the first commandment. Look in Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, here it is. Mark chapter 12. I've got a new Bible. Did you ever get a new Bible? Verse 30. And Jesus answered him, They asked him, which is the first commandment of all, or which is the greatest commandment of them all? What is the greatest commandment of them all? We begin to go to the Ten Commandments, don't we? Here it is. Jesus answered him, said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord. When you see the word Lord in your New Testament, the Holy Spirit does not hesitate to use that term. That term is not a name for God. It is a title. It means the sovereign ruler of the universe. And he says, thou shalt love the sovereign ruler of the universe. Thou shalt love the Lord, thy God, Elohim, with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. Now, you see that little word in there, all? Do you know what all means? All means all, and that's all means. That means all. That means all. Let me ask you a question. Who is on the throne of your heart? Self or the Savior? What I want to do, me, my, I want to satisfy. I want this. I. Do you know something? America has sacrificed God upon the twin altars of profit and pleasure. Money. What I can do to. Well, after all, I work hard. I deserve it. We don't deserve anything but hell. And listen to me, folk. He said the first commandment, and by the way, these take care of all the other Ten Commandments. He said, with all thine heart. Now, how do I keep my heart in tune with the Lord? All. Wholehearted. Not 50%, not 75%, not 99.9%, but with all. That is total submission. Everything. You heard about the preacher said, oh God, I'll give you anything you want. Oh God, I'll just give you anything you want. Just give me your power, Lord. I'll give you anything. God said, I don't want anything. I want everything. Everything. You see, we try to bargain with God. And we let God in our living room, but these other rooms in our house are off limits. Make yourself comfortable here in the living room, Lord. But don't get in the closet. And don't go back in here. Don't go over here. And don't go where I can keep these secret thoughts in my heart and mind. Don't go there, Lord. That's off limits. All thy heart. The heart is not that thing that pumps blood in the scripture. That's not what it's talking about. It's used 1,587 times, the word heart. In the Old Testament economy, it means the total man. Body, soul, and spirit. All. Is he first in your thought life? Or do you let idols come in? Is he first in your time? Or do you let other things move in and take place? We're as guilty as Israel worshiping a golden calf. Amen? We have golden calves of our own making. My wife and I, we have kind of a set standard. We never sit down as a. We never read the newspaper and get the news of what's happening until we get fed manna in here. The first thing we pick up is the Word of God. Now, that's not a legal law. It's my heart. The last conscious thing that I want to think about before I go to sleep is my Lord. Lord. And every morning of my life, I report for duty and say, Lord, lead me. May my path please you. May my thoughts please you. You say, oh, come on, brother. You mean to tell me every thought in your mind? Every thought in your mind? Every imagination in your mind? Yes. Because when they come, listen, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. You can't stop the thoughts from going through your mind. And you can't, because you've got the world, the flesh, and the devil to contend with, and they'll see to it. But I tell you what you do. What does the Word of God say? Bring every thought into captivity. Capture it. Put it on the blood. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't control your mind, the world and the flesh and the devil will. So, I want my thoughts to be on him. Wait a minute. All my heart, that word heart, I could spend a month on that. You know what it's referred to in the New Testament? It's called the bowels. Paul said, my bowels, the emotions, the bowels, your bowels. Talk about the heart. The belly, out of her belly shall flow rivers of living water. The word belly comes from a word which means cavity. Empty place. And that cavity is never satisfied in a lost man until he's born again. Every lost man wants more, more. Something to satisfy. And get more and more and more. Somebody asked John D. Rockefeller, said, how much money does it take to satisfy you? He said, a little more. More. And we're looking for something to satisfy. I'm going to tell you, the only thing that will satisfy that cavity and fill up that cavity in your heart is the blessed Lord Jesus. When he comes in, he doesn't take sides. He takes control. He takes over. You become a different person. All thine heart. Do you love him with all your heart? All thy soul. That's your emotional, your intellect, your all of your soul. What was it? And all thy mind, your mind. That's what you are when there ain't nobody looking, and the blinds are pulled. And nobody will know anything about it. David said, these things have I done in your presence, oh God. Do we have our heart? Have him upon our heart? Our mind? And all thy strength. I don't have the strength I used to have. I really don't. Any of you all over 70 know that's so. I feel like my get up and get's gone up and went. I mean, I know that's so. I can't do what I used to do. But what I have, I'm not going to putter across the finish line, folks. I'm not going to do it. My mom said, they may roll you. I said, let them roll me. I'm not going to putter across the finish line. Listen, I ought to give him everything that I got. Everything. All of me. Young person, if you want to be happy in Jesus, surrender. Submit. If you want to be a success, do the will of God. And you'll stumble over happiness doing the will of God. There is absolutely no happiness outside of the will of God. Oh, young person, mom and dad, brothers and sisters, I implore you, I beseech you. The only true happiness is to get self off the throne of the heart and put the Savior there and say, not my will, but thy will be done. Let's stand with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking around. I'll finish my message tonight. But every service, I want to deal with a different aspect of the heart for missions.